Our text this morning is Isaiah chapter 43, verses 21 through 25. Isaiah 43, verses 21 through 25. And you can find that on page 878 in the Pew Bible. Isaiah 43, from verse 21. Hear the word of the Lord. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. Neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor worried thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name, my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who was made a servant for sinners like us. We pray, O Lord, that you would make him beautiful and glorious in our eyes this morning, even from this very word, that you would lift him up and raise our affections unto heaven, that we might dote upon him. Send your Holy Spirit to blow upon these dry bones, that we might have life spiritually and that we might have joy in Christ. Do this for his sake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Many of you here know what it's like to be a servant for others. Moms, you know what it's like. You're serving your family. You're serving your children. But it seems as though they can be relentless in their demands upon you. It's just more and more and more. Mom, more snacks. Mom, kiss my boo-boo. Mom, brother did this to me and that to me. And don't forget your husband's needs. And don't forget the church's needs. Dad, you know what it's like to bear the burden of leading a family and having a difficult job. Elder, you know what it's like. Serve on three sessions. And don't forget to look after the souls of your own children, wife, pastor. Babysit me spiritually. Give me spaghetti every week. Let me talk to you about all my problems. Oh, you have your own spiritual problems? That's too bad. You see, it just piles on and on and on and on, it seems like. Well, I tell you this morning, there is one that knows that very feeling far better than any of us here do. Our theme this morning is the Savior servant of sinners. The Savior servant of sinners. In the scriptures, we read of men servants and maid servants. That is, servants that are men, servants that are maid, or women, maids and women. Well, this morning we're talking about a servant that is a savior. A servant that is a savior. Jesus Christ was made a servant that he might bear the burden of our sins and make atonement unto God for them. And that is the doctrine that I've gathered from our text this morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ willingly became a servant that he might bear the burden of our sins upon his back. And those sins were indeed a heavy burden upon him that wearied him in his humanity and would have crushed him had he not been held up in his divinity. And so this morning, we will hear something that is bitter to hear, something that is hard to hear. The weight of our sins as a heavy burden upon Christ's back. But from this flows something sweet. Something sweet. And so our sermon will be divided into two parts. Something bitter and something sweet. First, that which is bitter. Let us look at our text. It begins in verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. The Lord is here talking about why he has gathered the church, gathered you, Phoenix Reformed Presbyterian Church. We heard it in the call to worship, what he does. He's in our midst, rejoicing over us, singing over us. And he gathers us that we might do the same, that we might respond unto him with rejoicing, with singing, with joy. But you know, and I know, that that's not the case oftentimes. We come to this place and we're wearied with the worship of God. Oh, the sermons are so long. Psalm meditation, scripture reading, and now you want to add a prayer service on top of that. So long, and our minds drift, and it's tedious to read the scriptures and to sing and all these things. We're tired of the Lord. And this is his rebuke. He said, I brought you together that you might sing my praise, that you might rejoice in my salvation. But you've not called upon me, O Jacob. You've been weary of me, O Israel. Think about this. Which of you, if you have a spouse and you've set apart time to rejoice one another in one another, and they're, it's a chore to them. They're weary of you. How hurtful is that? But this is us because of the corruption of our nature. That our loving Savior, our sweet Savior, we become tired of him, wearied with him. Why? Because we love our sin. Because we love to do that which is against the law of God. And so when we come to him, we come into his presence and we hear the word. We hear that which is against, which convicts us of our sins. It wearies us, but this ought not to be the case. We haven't done that which we should have done, which is to bring praises unto him. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. You've not worshipped me in the way that I have instructed. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. You see how we are? We see Jesus freely offering to be a servant, to bear our sins. And we say, oh, you're picking up the tab? Okay, I'll get everything on the menu, and I'll get some to go as well. Just throwing it on his back. In Amos 2:13, he puts it this way, behold, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. Imagine a cart, and there's just stacks of hay being piled on and piled on and piled on and piled on. And it begins to get crushed. That's the Lord Jesus Christ bearing up our sins. And what's our attitude towards him? We see this man with all the infirmity of a true human nature. And what do? Oh, you're bearing my sins? Here's more sin. Here's more fornications. Here's more lies. Here's more pornography. Here's more bitterness. Here's more unjust anger, since you're taking it up for me. How cruel and unkind we are unto him. You see, sin is indeed a wearying of Christ. Sin is a wearying of Christ. Because he's God, but he's a true man. He took unto himself a true human nature. Philippians chapter 2 says that though he was in the form of God, he took on him the form of a servant. The form of a servant. And in that humanity, he was indeed a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And why is that? Because he had to bear your sins and mine. Who is it that made it so that the glorious Son of God, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, had to humble himself and become a servant. You did it. And you did it with your sins, and I did it with mine. He humbled himself, became a servant that he might bear the burden of our sins upon his back. Have you felt this reality yet? How many sins have you committed in your life? No, how many sins did you commit this past week? Try to put a number to them. And do you know what sin is? It's not just the actions. It's every thought, word, and deed that is not in conformity with the law of God or transgresses it. How many thoughts have you had that were contrary to the law of God? How many lustful looks? How many bitter thoughts? If you were to try to count them up, I would recommend that you multiply that number by 10,000 at least. And that's just the last week. How many sins have you committed even this morning? Coming to worship unprepared, coming to worship distracted, disinterested, wearied. Do you know that all of these things that you committed, it's easy to think about sin as a Christianese abstract concept. We talk about sin, yeah, we'll talk about that. But let's get particular. Your particular sins, each and every one, you hurled them upon his back. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you remember in the garden, it says that he was in an agony and he prayed unto his Father, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. He felt that burden upon him, crushing his soul. And you were there. Wearying Christ with your sins. Thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. You made him a servant. He ought to have lived as a king. This is what the Jews expected. They expected that he would come with a sword in hand, going out conquering and to conquer, carnally speaking. That he would overthrow, physically, Caesar and his dominion. And he would be visibly glorious for all to see. But no, he came humbly. He came as a servant. As a one that had not a place to lay his head at night. And not only that, he suffered a horrible, horrifying death. As he went to that cross in anticipation, even before any physical pain was inflicted upon him, he had that immense spiritual suffering. Now is my soul troubled, he said as he went to the cross. He was in an agony as he began to feel the inward anguish coming from the wrath of God against sin. Our sins that were imputed unto him. And so he was a servant for our sakes. Yes, our Savior is a Savior, indeed a Savior through his servanthood. We made him a servant. We wearied him with our iniquities. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. Iniquity refers to that corruption of our nature. We are the opposite of equitable. We don't have equity. We don't have justice. We don't have rectitude and righteousness in our souls. We have that which is bent, that which is corrupt. And because of that, God is constantly offering his mercy. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You want joy? You want happiness? You want forgiveness of sin? You want eternal life? It's free. Come and take it. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Buy without money and without price, and you will find satisfaction for your soul. But because our natures are corrupt, we see that great offer. We say, that sounds really good, but let me enjoy my sin a little bit longer, and then I'll come. It's a free offer, right? So I can come to him anytime. He's a Savior, right? He's a willing servant, isn't he? But this sin is just so sweet. I just enjoy it so much. And so there's this ongoing cycle. You know that it's true. You know that it's there in your own life. You know what I'm talking about. An ongoing cycle of sin. You repent with your mouth, which is a fake repentance, but you continue. And so you have this iniquity in you. The psalm says that they repented, but they lied unto him with their repentance. Psalm 106. And so you sin, you repent. There's this ongoing cycle. And so your iniquity, your corrupt nature is wearying Christ. More sin, more sin, more sin, more sin, all upon his back, weighing him down, crushing him, causing him, this is that which caused him to cry out in agony unto his Father. And you are indulging in it. What a bitter thing this is to hear. You see that little white lie, so-called white lie, that you think is convenient? Not that big of a deal. It's going to keep me from getting in trouble unnecessarily. What's the hurt? The hurt is upon Christ's back. The hurt is the weariness in Christ's soul. Just one more time and then I'll repent tomorrow. What's the hurt? The hurt is crushing the Lord Jesus. What a bitter view of ourselves this is. But you see, it's something sweet also. Because the Lord Jesus is not like you and me. Us, when we are bearing burdens for others, when we are living our lives in service unto others, what happens? We start to get bitter. Look at all the things I've done for you. And we start to look with antagonism towards those that we're serving. But Jesus Christ is not like that. He came willingly into this world, knowing about the iniquity of your nature, knowing about your insistence and indulgence in sins, and he willingly bore all of that. And he did that for the joy that was set before him. That through his blood, through the agony of his atonement, he might sanctify a bride, a people unto himself. And we rejoice being joined unto that bride, the church, into eternity forever and evermore. And so, although you might look at mom after you've wearied her with all of your disobedience, all of your back talking, and say, I don't know if I can come to mom right now. She's going to be mad at me. Well, your mom is a sinner, but Christ is not. Christ bore this burden so that he could welcome you, so that he could hold open his arms unto you and say, come unto me and bear my burden instead of the burden of your sins, to bear his burden instead of the burden of your sins. You see, this is what he's getting at in the earlier verses. He says, yes, I've instructed you to worship me. I've put a light burden upon you, a light burden, not the heavy burden, which is what you have in your flesh. Let me try to explain the difference here. We must do good works as Christians. But we do not work for righteousness before God. We do not try to work our way into heaven. We do not work for eternal life. We do not work for salvation. We work as ones already saved, as ones already adopted into the family of God out of gratitude and faithfulness. Maybe I can illustrate for you the difference. Imagine that you are one that's been estranged from your father. And he's a deadbeat. He wants nothing to do with you. He doesn't care about you. And you think, well, if I become really good at sports, do really good at school, I try really hard, then he'll love me. Everything you're doing, You're trying to earn his love. You're trying to get his attention. Daddy, notice me. Daddy, love me. And it feels like no matter what you do, no matter how hard you work, it nothing works. He just doesn't want you. Why doesn't he want me? You see what a heavy burden it is to have that workload upon your back. Trying to earn love, trying to earn the acknowledgement of a father. But this is the works that we do in Christ that I'm about to tell you. He already loves you. You've already been his son. And no matter what you do, no matter how mediocre your artworks are, no matter how whack your GPA is, he's just so proud of you. He just dotes over you because he just loves you that much. And it becomes easy. Oh, wow, look, my son's there on the baseball field. Oh, he's out. Okay, I don't care. It's my son. It doesn't matter if there's a child more good looking, a child that's smarter. That your dad just loves you for you. And when you do works in that light, it's an easy burden. That's why Jesus said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Because you worship him. And not only that, it goes further than the illustration can demonstrate in that the good works that you do, it's him that's working in you to produce these, not you working from yourself. So not only are your good works accepted because they're sanctified in the blood of Christ, but it's the Spirit of Christ that's working in you to produce these good works in the first place. And so you see how easy a burden this is to bear, as opposed to that burden of having the reality of the knowledge of sin, the weight of the wrath of God upon you, your sins over your head as a burden that is too heavy to bear, and trying to work for righteousness. You see, if you hear this, you hear, yes, wow, my sin is egregious. My sin is a heavy burden upon Christ's back. And I've been like the children of Israel that repented, but feignedly. They faked it, and then they went right back to their vomit. I've wearied him. I've got to start doing better. I've got to start working harder. I've got to read my scriptures more. I've got to pray more. You do need to do all those things, but none of that is going to make atonement. None of that is going to reconcile you unto God. The thing that you must do is you must look upon the Savior with the eyes of faith. The eyes of faith looks upon this Savior servant, this burden bearer, as one that is gushing out with love. The eyes of unbelief looks at him as one that is wanting to cast you away. One that you need to run away from. You see, Peter looked upon Christ with the eyes of faith after his sin, and so he ran to Christ. And Judas looked upon Christ with the eyes of unbelief as a hard master, and so he went and he killed himself, and now he's in eternal perdition unto this day. How are you looking upon Christ? If you hear these things, what do you think of Christ? Do you think, oh, look at what I've done, I've got to run away? Or do you think, oh, look at what he's done, I've got to run to him? Look upon Christ with the eyes of faith. He is the burden bearer. He is the Savior servant. Verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake. Not because you're going to wake up at 6 a.m. tomorrow and get in the scriptures and you're going to be consistent. For my own sake. And will not remember thy sins. I will not remember thy sins. Something sweet. You've been in cycles of sin. You've heaped burdens upon Christ's back. Now, what are you to do? To work? Can't work, you can't put God into debt. To him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. What must you do then now? Is you must look upon this burden bearer. You must look upon this Savior servant with faith, believing that all your sins through his servitude, through his burden bearing, through the agony that he underwent to atone for your sins and mine imputed unto him, indeed reconciles you unto God, makes you a son or a daughter of God, takes away all of your sins. Not just the sins that you've committed in the past, and you think, okay, I've got a clean slate, now I've forgiven, now I'm going to be better. You're not, well, you're going to be better if you do believe, but you're still going to sin. And if indeed you're regenerated, you're going to feel, you're going to be actually sinning less, but you're going to feel it more as you're more sanctified. And so even as you're growing in holiness, you're not going to be able to look on your righteousnesses for any ground of confidence before the Lord. And you're only going to be resting in the bosom of Christ like John rested in his bosom. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for thy, for my own sake. All your sins, all the trillions and billions of sins that you committed and will commit in your lifetime, Jesus with his blood blots it all out. And I will not remember them anymore. When I deal with you, when I look at you, believer, I'm not dealing with you as one that has sinned. It's hard to do that. You know it's true if you're a Christian. You've forgiven somebody. You say you've forgiven somebody, but it's hard. That thing is always in the back of your mind when you look at them. I don't remember what you did. I don't quite trust you. I'm going to deal with you in a certain kind of way. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taken your sins and thrown them behind his back as far as the east is from the west. And so you're able to come boldly unto the throne of grace. How sweet it is. How sweet it is. And having this sweetness, this is the foundation for true holiness. A holiness that will not justify you before God, will not earn any righteousness, will not earn eternal life, but it flows out of a heart of faith and love. And it does it simply because it loves the Lord. I remember some people in college that were just geniuses in math and physics. They just loved it, and they would do it on their free time. They would go home and they would read articles about quantum physics and all these things. And then when they came to class and they took the test, 95, everybody else was getting a 32. It was a curved grade. They just loved the subject. It was easy for them. When God takes that hard heart, that stony heart, and puts in a heart of flesh, these good works flow out of you like that physics nerd. And it's easy for you. But you have to first look upon that which is bitter to hear. Hear that it is true. Acknowledge that it's true. Be humbled by it. And then go to that Savior servant. Go to that burden bearer. And he takes your sins. He takes your burden. What a heavy burden it is. Young man, if you want to be respected in this life, you got to work hard. If you want to be valued at your company, you got to work hard. There's no company in this world that's going to just love you for you. That's not how it works. You've got to work. That's the reality of life. And that's why the gospel is so unique. Because to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Can you imagine going into the job? I don't have to work. I just believe in you, boss. Nope, it doesn't work like that. But it works with the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you heard the sweetness? And have you tasted of it? Have you taken hold of it? I'm not talking about, oh, that's a nice sermon. I'm talking about, oh, Lord Jesus Christ. My Lord and my God, my Savior. It is you, to your cross that I cling. You have to take hold on him today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not when you're 18. Not when you're 30. Not when you've got a family. Not when you're married. Today is the day of salvation. You cannot hear this sweetness You cannot hear the horror of the bitterness of sin and then the sweetness of the salvation in Jesus Christ and go away without taking hold on him and grabbing hold on him like Jacob grabbed hold on him. Like that woman with the demon-possessed daughter was so clinging unto him, she would not go away until she had him. Have you taken hold on him? How do you do that? Simply by faith. You grab hold on him by your faith. You hear the good news. You hear that which is bitter. You hear that which is sweet. And you believe in that Savior. You believe in that burden bearer. You believe in that man that was made a servant for your sake and for mine. A willing servant, not a slave, a willing servant. No man took his life from him, but he laid it down of himself. He had power to do so. Such was the commandment given to him of his Father. He did this because he was willing. He did this because he was loving. He did this because he saw that you're but flesh. He saw that you make your resolutions, you make your change of mind, you say you're going to do better, and then you fall off couple days later, maybe a week later. He did that because he saw that when we were yet without strength, he died for the ungodly, because we have no strength, spiritually speaking. And we must rely upon the strength of the God-man, the strength of the mediator, Jesus Christ. Have you taken hold on him? Even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. Why will your sins be forgiven? Because I go to church? Because I put on my Sunday best and I sit in the pew? Because I've been baptized? Because I'm a communicant member? Wrong, 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 wrong. For his own name's sake. Because he himself took into the unity of his person a human nature that he might be made a servant. That he might reconcile us unto God. That he might bear our sins imputed unto him and die as though a cursed man, that we might be blessed sons and daughters. It's for his own sake. And if indeed you are a member of the church, a professing Christian, the mercy that he'll have on you, even as a hypocrite, even as a backslider, is for his own name's sake. Because he is the one that said, I will be your God, and you will be my sons and daughters. You will be my people. I will blot out your transgressions. I will remember your sins no more. And therefore, this is the ground of your faith, his own covenant word. An anchor for the soul, whereupon you may rest your faith. It's for his own sake. It's for that blood shed out, that soul in agony, that you're able to come unto him and come indeed, believing this word, hearing the bitter, believing the sweet, that you might have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, our servant Savior. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, a servant Savior indeed. Though he dwelt in the indescribable blessedness in eternity, in the bosom of the Father. Nevertheless, he came down, humbled himself, took on a human nature with all the common infirmities thereof, yet without sin, made himself like unto us, that we might be made like unto him. Take this word and make it effectual in every heart in this place. Those that are weak and weary, strengthen them through the strength of Christ. Those that are unconverted, convert by the mighty power of your Holy Spirit through the word. Cause cause us to be faithful. Cause us to indeed be full of faith, looking upon Jesus with the eyes of faith, resting in him alone for our salvation, clinging unto his cross. Do this for Jesus' sake, not for ours. We ask this in his name. Amen.